Chapter 14. Morning. Sasha traced her fingers down Dar's chest. Blinking away the morning grit, he looked down at the raven-haired beauty smile. Morning. We were up late. She giggled and rested her head on his chest. Yes, your stamina is certainly enhanced. Her finger traced the spot between his erection and his balls. They had discovered a Dao character there, drawing mana after each session, reinvigorating him for more. What it was, they weren't quite certain. He tried not to think about why Lilith had given it to him, and instead just be grateful. The night had been amazing. Outside their hut, the morning light was just waking. The birds began chirping with increasing volume, sure to wake up the rest of the camp soon. He pushed off the ground, the dew beading and rolling off his naked body. The clothes from last night were a tattered mess on the floor of their little hut. He realized it put them in a bit of a predicament, but he couldn't help but still smile. Don't imagine you can just fix those clothes up for me. Not a chance. The Dao companion of... She trailed off, her eyes widening as she realized what she said. I mean... Lifting her chin, he planted a hungry kiss to her lips. I like the sound of that. Sasha smiled around a rapidly forming blush. Anyways, with my Dao, I'd be insulted if you walked around in such rough clothes. Dar was barely listening, feeling himself start to stir again. Sasha just looked too cute as the blush spread across her cheeks, and he wanted to hear her come undone under him again. Seeing the hunger in his eyes, she gave him a playful scolding look as she smacked his chest. No, we don't have time for that. He pulled her close and nibbled at her neck in response, enjoying the squeals of pleasure and fake protest that followed. The camp will start moving soon, she said weakly, still letting herself get pulled into his lap again. It only took a moment before her hips started to gyrate in his lap, hungry for more. Excuse me, my lord. Amber's voice came from outside. She sounded tired. Yes? Dar asked, not wanting to stop with Sasha. Count Tint is asking to speak with you before we start for the day. An exasperated groan escaped him, but he quickly corrected it, worried Amber might take it as displeasure towards her. We'll be there in a few minutes. Thanks, Amber. He called out as he pulled Sasha close for one last soft squeeze. We should really get you some clothes, then, Sasha reminded him. He gave a grunt in agreement, his brain still more focused on her body. But it looked like it would have to wait until another time. Clothes, yep. So how does this work? He wondered if it would be something like in the fairy tale movies. Clothes just appearing out of nowhere. Moving through her spatial bag, Sasha pulled out a variety of clothes, then retied the bag to her thigh. The silk dress and corset she'd pulled out came alive to her touch and practically wrapped themselves around her. Their fibers zipped themselves together as Sasha got dressed in just a few magical seconds. She smirked as his eyes roamed her curves, trying to remember them. No, you won't get me out of this till later tonight. I think you might have worn me out, Dar. That appeased him more than anything. He didn't want to exhaust his beauty. Now, stand up. Arms out. Sasha's authoritative tone made him smile. While she was insecure about her fighting skills, this was her specialty. Sasha pulled out several bolts of thick cloth from her spatial bag. They were dark, thick, matte materials. Is that silk? He asked, seeing something heavier than he expected. Of a kind. There are many monsters that can produce cloth. This comes from a monster with the durability Dao in their ancestry. It is very strong material. It's not quite as fancy as my dresses, but it suits you better. It did indeed, and he had to breathe a sigh of relief. He was worried he was going to be walking around in some shiny clothing that would attract far too much attention. Instead, the dark blue and gray were ideal. Sasha snapped her fingers, and the bolts of cloth spun, flinging the fabric into the air as it wrapped around him. As it did so, he could feel her Tao working in a way he hadn't experienced before. It felt almost tangible to him now. Taking a breath, Dar felt a momentary fear of being smothered and suffocated. But as quickly as it was wrapped around him, it also shifted rapidly. Avoiding his face and forming itself into a simple shirt with a heavy padded doublet. It was simply adorned, but perfectly tailored. Not bad. Sasha scoffed and fitted pants next, wrapping around his hips and unfurling the cloth down his legs. As the cloth moved, he felt a soft caress of his thigh. Having fun?
Yes. Move your arms around and maybe do a few squats.
She circled her finger fully, in business mode once again. Dar did as she asked and felt the material shift under him, expanding to account for his full range of motion. It made the shirt a bit looser, almost puffy in places, but he'd rather be able to move than worry about fashion. Sasha, I could feel your Tao. It was different than when you used it before. The witch looked at him, surprised.
Of course, after how close we were last night, I can feel your Tao too. Tao companion is more than a word, Dar. Our Tao paths were entangled with our bodies last night. You can't use my Tao, but many become Tao companions to study and potentially learn new Tao. That's also a reason why the powerful often end up with so many lovers, looking to both add to their Tao and share it with their companions.
How long will it last? He smirked, thinking of her Tao of combustion. That would fit nicely with his Tao of heat towards something like fire.
A few days. But the more we entangle ourselves, the clearer you'll be able to see my Tao. If we stop for a week, it would fade. Stop smirking, you rogue. We'll have plenty of time together later for you to pursue those thoughts.
He had to admit, the idea of sex empowering them both to grow faster was an idea that suited him just fine.
Could I get that book of yours to study later?
She smirked.
It isn't that fast, and we should entangle paths more if that's your goal. I feel I'll have to make a second book now, won't I?
Maybe. Do most make a book?
No. 12 for me?
She made a spinning motion with her hand and leaned away to watch him. Sasha examined him carefully as she finished, finally nodding her approval.
Good. Now I want to know what that damned count needs to interrupt our morning.
Sasha groused as she stuffed all the remaining material back into her bag. Dar agreed. Stepping out of their little hut, he saw the rest of the camp was awakening. Groggy townspeople wandered around, starting to get breakfast cooking and the animals fed. They found Amber just outside, leaning up against the shed with tired eyes.
You okay, Amber?
I'm fine. Just didn't get much sleep last night.
She nodded, already looking like she was going to pass out.
Lay down in the cart today. It's not much work for me to pull another, he said.
Sasha hung back a moment to talk to the girl. By Dar's guess, she had stayed up all night, poor girl.
Is she going to be okay?
Dar asked as Sasha caught back up.
She'll be fine. Slept or tried to sleep outside our hut. But it appears there were some noises that kept her up.
Her smile quirked up. He put it together then. They'd kept up the poor girl with her night. He played some of it back, trying to recall just how loud they had been. Looking around at the mix of glowering and respectful looks on the faces of those who had come out of their shelters, they had not been quiet enough. Next to him, Sasha didn't seem to mind one bit. He figured that it was probably considered more normal here, where housing was often limited by its sound barriers, and proximity to neighbors was common for safety. It still felt a little odd to have everybody know their business. Dar did his best to not let the looks get to him as they found Count Tint, who was tightening straps on his carriage.
Good morning!
Count Tint greeted him happily. Stupefied by the Count's sudden change in attitude, Dar didn't know what to say. The Count had pointedly avoided addressing him directly in the past.
Morning, Count.
Sasha broke the silence.
What can we do for you?
Well,
I was hoping to speak with the strapping wizard alone. He gave her a warm smile. Sasha gave Dar a questioning look. He just shrugged. It wasn't likely the Count would try anything besides a conversation at this point in the trip.
Then I'll leave you boys to it.
Sasha put her hand on Dar's arm for a moment before walking away. The Count watched her walk away before speaking.
I should have known you were hiding your strength, wizard.
He knocked himself up the side of the head before continuing.
You came in as her bodyguard. Then you fought off a number of trolls. The way you handled that dryad so swiftly into working for you, and then you took out a mantis. Finally showing yourself, eh?
The Count was growing more animated as he spoke. I've never seen a particular wizard focus on enchantments that enhance their body, but you certainly work with what you have. Dar blinked as the Count gestured to his size. The man thought he had been a wizard the whole time, which apparently meant that he deserved respect in the Count's mind. It seemed odd that nothing had actually changed, and yet the entire relationship with the Count was different now. Deciding it wasn't worth a confrontation, Dar just nodded and waited to see if the discussion was going anywhere.
I'm sure you are working for that witch for another enchantment you must want, but I wanted to let you know that when you were done with that, my family would love to employ you.
Ah, now the Count's change in mood made sense. He was recruiting. Dar figured he couldn't just nod to that one.
We'll see. I still have 2 months on my contract with Sasha. I don't know how far that will take me from Bellhaven.
It was obviously a lie, but Dar wasn't about to commit to anything, and it made a nice excuse.
Yes, yes, of course. It is good that you uphold your deals. Once we get to Bellhaven, I'm sure she'll end up sticking around at least that long.
Tint said the last bit with a slight quirk of his smile that put Dar on edge. Nodding anyways, Dar knew he was walking a fine line with the Count. The man was only remaining friendly on the chance for his family to employ a wizard.
I hope that I can remain near Bellhaven for the near future, then.
Dar gave a non-committal response and a smile.
Good. A wizard that can take on a mantis is a welcome addition to any city.
The Count gave him a wink. Dar had to control himself to not roll his eyes. This man's arrogance would no doubt lead to more drama in the future. The Count clearly believed Dar would end up wanting to work for him when it was one of the last things he'd ever do. And it wasn't like he had any intention of leaving Sasha behind, contract or not. The woman had captivated him.
Good day, then, Count Tint. I need to get ready for our march today.
Dar bowed out of the conversation, the Count more than satisfied with his answers. Sasha greeted him with a look of curiosity, but asked no questions.
Count Tint wanted to recruit me after our contract was over. He's come to the conclusion that I've been a wizard, or at least an aspiring one, this whole time.
Her brows rose and fell with surprise and understanding.
Makes sense. Wizards are very highly sought after. If he believes you to be a wizard, then you would be very combat-oriented, which is something his family would reward heavily.
Dar nodded along.
I played interested, but non-committal.
That interested in staying in his good graces? Sasha asked, a tone of disapproval.
You know as well as I do that he could cause us trouble. I said that I wouldn't leave you until our contract was up.
But we both know that I'm not staying with you at this point because of the potion I owe you.
His hand snatched her soft, gloved hand.
You know that, right?
She blushed and smacked his chest.
Stop that. Yes, I know.
Catching her hand before she could pull it back, he brought it to his lips and kissed her fingertips.
I mean it.
The gesture made her blush spread down to her chest. Sasha went silent after that, descending into her own thoughts. Watching her for a moment longer, Dar managed to drag his eyes away to start preparing their items for travel. They had collected a few things that were riding along with Cherry's tree in the wagon. Some bowls, a few newly made water skins and such. The rest of the camp had come alive as people started to move forward, slowly returning to the route they'd been taking. Dar pulled the cart with Cherry and her tree as well as a now-sleeping Amber. Poor girl didn't even wake as the cart started moving. Morning sunlight hit the river they were using to guide them, and it was a beautiful display of nature. The clear water reflected orange light, seeming to come alive. As he watched it, Dar realized it was more than just seeing the display. He could feel it in his bones. The warmth of the morning sun was a palpable sensation.
Sasha, I can feel the sun's warmth differently. Is that my Dao?
Hmm?
She asked distractedly, blinking away whatever daydream she'd been lost in.
Yes, you should be able to feel heat in a new way. Does that mean I should be able to sense body heat? Like infrared?
Sasha's face twisted in confusion.
Infrared?
Apparently that word didn't translate with whatever cosmic translation skills Lilith had put on his body.
It's something from my world, where you use heat to see. People use it at night when it's too dark to see, allowing them to make out things like life forms, he explained.
That only seemed to make it worse.
Were you snake people in your past life? That sounds like a snake.
He thought he remembered reading that snakes had something like it.
No, not snake people. We made goggles that we put over our eyes that allow us to see like the snakes do.
He mimed a pair of goggles over his face, just in case that word was also foreign.
Yes, I know what goggles are, she said, her tone teasing. You should be able to sense it, but to make your own goggles would require a number of enchantments.
She trailed off, thinking.
But I don't think I've heard of a vision or sight Dao that you would need. But we could always hope.
Making goggles seems difficult, but me being able to sense creatures, like a pack of trolls approaching, would be nice, Dar explained. But then the idea of making an enchantment stuck with him. Do you think you could show me how to make an enchantment?
Of course. Have you tried to write the Dao character for heat? She asked.
Dar could imagine the character like it was burned into the back of his eyelid, but he hadn't tried writing it yet.
Here.
Sasha pulled out her wand and picked up a stone from the ground. Dar took the wand from her, careful of the end. He'd seen the wand carved straight through stone.
It has an enchantment for cutting on it. Cover the rune to turn it off,
she instructed, and he noticed her thumb had been covering it while he took hold. He took the stone next, with the wand focused on writing the Dao character into the stone. Again, he could imagine the character with vivid clarity, but writing it seemed to take much more focus. Sasha took up pulling the cart while he worked on the stone. It took a few minutes before he finished, feeling a bead of sweat on his brow at the effort. But as he finished, the stone was already growing warm in his hand.
The size of the character determines how much mana it draws from the atmosphere, Sasha pointed out, and Dar felt the stone continue to heat up in his hand.
He wasn't going to get burnt, but he could feel that if he gave this to Sasha, she'd drop it like a hot potato. The heat leveled out, and he figured it was a little hotter than metal under the summer sun. Enough to make you flinch away, but not enough to do any lasting damage. The Dao character continued to draw mana and convert it into heat.
Now, draw another line through it, Sasha encouraged.
Dar made a quick diagonal cut through the Dao character, and the mana flowing in abruptly stopped. The stone was now just a normal stone, although it was still dissipating the heat that it had stored.
That's not too hard,
Dar said, pleased with the success. Sasha shrugged.
It really isn't. The higher order the rune, the harder it is to draw. And if you are trying to do something specific with the rune, size matters. So, if you are going to enchant some cloaks with heat for the winter, you'd need to be careful with the size of it, or you could cook the person who wore it.
They could cover it to turn it off, though, he pointed out.
Yes, but I'd rather not rely on that to prevent someone from being cooked. And I'm not sure the piece wouldn't just catch fire before that. Don't forget, if you trade it or sell it, people generally aren't happy with combusting after a purchase.
Sasha teased, taking her wand back. Dar nodded, already thinking about how to sell small, enchanted stones as heaters for the coming winter. The leaves were just starting to turn into their fall colors. No doubt something like that would be practical. Stones would quite literally be dirt cheap, and he could sell a number of small ones for people to spread throughout their home.
I can practically see the gears turning in your head, Dar. But remember, we can't let anyone know that you actually possess a Dao.
His whole plan fell apart at that. He was going to blow the whole secret at some point.
We could lie and say you made them?
Someone would eventually figure it out. Observe enough to realize you were always around when they were being made, or realize I don't have the Dao required. It would come out eventually.
Good point.
Dar sighed. He hadn't given up hope yet, but he reluctantly acknowledged it was complicated.
Cheer up. I'm sure you'll have no problem once we get to Bellhaven. People treat wizards almost as well as royalty.
He wasn't ready to give up yet on the possibilities, though. And he'd already had an idea he wanted to run by Sasha.
Do you think that I could make a stone hot enough for a blacksmith to work out this sword?
Pulling out the blade, he cringed again, seeing it. The blade was rippled from where it had been bent back and forth, and there was now the addition of several large cuts where the mantis's arms had collided with it.
Maybe. We can ask if there is someone who'd help you, but I think that sword might have to be retired soon. When we get to town, there might even be some people selling iron weapons.
What about steel? Dar asked, wanting the best. Sasha frowned.
I haven't heard of steel.
Surprised, Dar tried to remember what he knew about steel. He wasn't an expert, but he'd spent some time at a steel mill. If he could put out enough heat to melt some crude iron, he could remove some of the impurities. It might not be high-grade steel, but it likely would hold up better and closer to steel. He'd have to check out a blacksmith when they reached the town and see their practices. While his approach may be stronger in terms of the materials, they might have a Dao-based solution that was even better.
Dar, I know you want to have fun with your new Dao, but you should focus on becoming stronger with your body and skill. A stronger weapon only makes up for so much,
Sasha insisted. He knew she had a point, but he still wanted to get more value out of his Dao.
I get that, but I also need to learn how to use this Dao as I work on others. And we both know it could take a while to be able to form another or to get a greater Dao. I want to make the most of this.
The process took someone like Sasha or Cherry years and years. He had what felt like a cheat with the Dao tree, but he'd still have to see what the trolls and mantis would add to it. He was still figuring out how the tree worked. The different bodies may all have different Dao, and just be the start of various fruits. Regardless, he was excited to see what they would hold. His time with Sasha the night before had definitely been worth putting it off, but now he was itching to get back to his inner world and find out what would happen next. Sasha waved in front of his face, drawing his attention back to her from his thoughts.
Before you go using it too much, you need to get more consistent control over the Dao. You just blasted it during the fight in the woods. There wasn't a lot of mastery in the shot, although I'll give you that it was effective.
Scratching the back of his head, he acknowledged her point and gave her a sheepish grin.
You were in danger, and I just blasted that thing to kill it.
She smiled back at him, and there was a softness in her face, like she wanted to not deliver as strong of a blow.
And a focused attack from a single finger would have been far less draining, and maybe even quicker.
He sighed. She really was right. He had definitely overdone it, and in the end, left them more vulnerable to future attacks. If he had essentially made a blowtorch from his finger, that might have been enough.
I see. Don't just see the issue. Practice,
Sasha encouraged him. Dar focused on his finger and the Dao of Heat. He could feel the channels of mana within him connecting across his body. There was one that spread into each finger, and he focused on the Dao of Heat, pushing the mana into one of them. At first, it was a weak feeling of heat, but as he kept pumping mana out, pressure built up and the small spout of heat made a frail rumble. The air became so hot that it exited the space fast enough to create sound waves. But that wasn't good enough. The time it took him to build up the level of output was about 15 seconds. He needed something much faster if he was going to make a weapon of it. He wanted to be able to switch more rapidly between sword fighting and Dao fighting.
"That was good,"
Sasha encouraged, motioning for him to continue. Shaking his head, he tried again. Drawing the mana from his inner world, he channeled it through his chest and to his hands, making a loop. He held that loop, cycling without an outlet as he built up the pressure he'd need to make a small but powerful jet of heat. Once he sufficiently pressurized the mana in that loop, he opened a tap on his finger, making sure to point it away from any wandering eyes. A small rumble came to life from his finger, the air around the finger rippling with the heat.
"Oh, what did you do differently?"
Sasha asked, clearly more pleased than the first attempt. That time it had taken him about 5 seconds to pre-compress his mana and produce the same effect.
"I concentrated the mana in my body before releasing it."
He tried to explain the feeling of it to Sasha, but he wasn't really sure what the right terms were. Sasha nodded, but he could see that she wasn't following. He sighed to himself. Part of being the first of a kind meant exploring what that meant on your own. He was still figuring out how different his new, immortal body was from a demon's body. But based on Sasha's face, the channels were a difference. Wanting to confirm, he asked,
"Do you have channels in your body for the mana?"
She shook her head.
"Nope. Demons crystallize mana somewhere in their body, typically near the head."
Crystallize? Dar had been picturing mana as a vapor, maybe even closer to a liquid at high pressure. Yet Sasha and other demons had gone all the way to creating a solid out of it.
"Then how do you use it to interact with Dao?" "It sort of resonates constantly with the Dao I've mastered, growing each time I add one," she explained.
He turned to Cherry, knowing she was listening in.
"What about for spirits?"
Sure enough, she popped right into the conversation as if she'd been a part of it the entire time.
"Our bodies are formed of mana. Our soul is able to control it, much like the crystallized mana in Sasha, only ours isn't physical."
She leveled a strange gaze at him. He wasn't quite sure how to read it, and he'd wish she'd share more about how she was feeling.
"We need to talk about what your plans are once we reach Bellhaven,"
Cherry said, clearly wanting to drive the conversation.
"Well, it seems like my disguise as a wizard is already working out for me."
At her puzzled look, Dar gave her the short version of his interaction with the Count. She nodded along. He watched for other signals from her, but she wasn't giving anything away. He was worried about her ever since their last conversation, when Cherry had been torn between the reality of Dar, the man she had once loved, and Dar, the adventurer she was with now. As he wrapped up, he gave up on it for the time being.
"So, I'm planning to keep the ruse that I'm a wizard and start a house in Bellhaven. I'm too weak to fight the devils en masse right now. I need to establish a base and grow from there. The city seems like a decent place to start." "Are you sure the city is where you want to set up?"
Cherry asked.
"If consuming devil corpses is your path to growth, it may be difficult there."
"It is the logical step, but I'll keep my mind open. At least the city is a good place to start." Dar shrugged, not seeing another clear option at the moment. Cherry nodded slowly, clearly pondering something before seeming to come to a decision.
"Then I, Cherry, do so swear upon my Dao to follow your instructions as long as they do not harm me or those I care about, and they must not impinge upon my own virtues."
Dar felt a weight settle in his shoulders.
"What was that?" he asked.
Sasha's face next to him was completely pale. Her next words came out in a shocked whisper.
"The Dao is the order of the world. Swearing upon it is a binding contract for those of us that have a Dao. It's likely what Count Tint thought you already established with Cherry, but I didn't think it would ever actually happen.
It takes complete trust for her to do something like that.
Thank you, Cherry, Dar said, giving her a half bow and making sure he put full weight behind the words. Taking a breath, he wanted to make a vow of his own. I, Dar, swear upon my Tao to uphold your virtues to the best of my ability, and to not mistreat you or bring harm to you through secondary methods. Both Sasha and Cherry gasped as Dar felt the weight shift and settle between him and Cherry. He instinctively knew that the promise made could not be broken. The weight was clear that a misstep would be like bringing a guillotine crashing down upon him.
I didn't even think about it,
Cherry said, wonderment in her voice. Sasha nodded.
Me neither. He can swear upon his Tao. It seemed very formal, but was that such a big deal? He asked.
The weight had lifted slightly, seeming to settle into place as fact.
If you intend to honor what you say, then it isn't anything. But should you break your word, your Tao will crumble along with it,
Cherry explained.
It is also how wizards keep a hold on demons and spirits to borrow their power.
Ah. Many things became clear in the power dynamic that existed. He had struggled with how wizards came to control such powerful beings. Obviously, Cherry had a loyalty to him, but he imagined others did not.
What made you do that now? You know I wouldn't have asked it of you.
You may not, but they will ask,
Cherry said with a stern tone.
When you enter the city, they may even ask me to swear an oath not to harm anyone.
Dar frowned.
But if humans can't give the oath back, then they aren't bound by the same rules.
Right. They do it because they are afraid of us,
Cherry said simply. Nodding, they continued on for a while in silence, processing all that had just happened. It hadn't been a large ceremony or anything, but somehow the weight of those oaths felt momentous. He couldn't help but feel lucky to have Cherry on his side. But if they were going to work together, he needed to know that she was doing it for him, and not just for the Dar she used to know. Looking over his shoulder, he started in.
So, about yesterday.
Yes, yes, you two were very loud. I think you nearly broke Sasha.
The witch blushed heavily and studiously examined the ground. But he wasn't going to let Cherry off that easily, and he knew she was making him uncomfortable in hopes of avoiding it. So he went more direct.
You know that isn't what I meant. How are you doing with our discussion on the Dar you used to know?
Cherry harumphed.
You're not him. Or at least, we can't pick up where it was left off. So you might as well not be at all. But if...
She stopped speaking, somehow pretending like she hadn't just started a sentence.
If?
Dar prodded, realizing he was going to have to coax this whole thing out of her.
If something were to grow between us, we'd have to start over.
Cherry let it out in a rushed breath, clearly frustrated at having to share those feelings. Dar looked at Sasha to get her reaction, but she hadn't even flinched with the mention of something forming between him and Cherry.
Just like that? He asked.
Cherry nodded.
Just like that. I'm old, but I'm not indecisive.
Okay. Then as your wizard, what am I supposed to do?
He asked. Cherry looked him up and down.
You put on some nice clothes, for starters. I assume our lovely witch did those. But we need to get you some things that are a bit more wizardly.
Sasha groaned.
I'll help with the runes. But please don't make him look like a wizard.
Cherry laughed while Dar looked between the two of them. Once again, he was confused.
What is so objectionable about wizard clothing?
When you wear things based on if they're enchanted or not, they tend not to match.
The well-put-together witch shuddered. He laughed, imagining powerful wizards dressed like they'd assembled the outfits out of free clothing bins, or characters in games that wore ridiculous pink clothing because the stats were better.